Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, yo, hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket Cam will head out to the guest line right now and welcome in one of our favorites, Solomon Wolcott's here with us back on the Zach Gelb Show. Solomon, how you been, my man?
Zach, I'm doing great, and great to be on with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. How do you describe what went down in New England last night for the Patriots?
Bizarre. You know, it was rather bizarre. Now, let's just think, if we're confused and if players saying they didn't know, Belichick saying that there was no, lack of communication, how do you think the quarterbacks must feel? How do you think Mac Jones must feel? We're in a new era of New England Patriot football. You've got some coaches who've come back in and sort of parachuted back in. And they've been given the offense, you know, just about all the offensive coaches from the team a year ago vacated. And that opened up this void for Joe Judge and Matt Patricia to function in roles, let's be honest, that they've never functioned in before. Quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. One guy was a defensive coach. Another guy was a special teams coach. They're learning some things. They're figuring it out. But I think, you know, we've all given Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt. He deserves it. Maybe he's even earned it. Tied for second most wins all time in NFL history. But I think from what we're seeing, they don't have a firm grasp on everything. And I think what we're seeing is very clear. No matter what they tell us, I think we know that this is a problem. And it looked that way last night.
Well, that's why I opened up the show. People today are going to have the conversation. Should it be Mac Jones or should it be Bailey Zappe moving forward? I don't even care who the quarterback is, and it should be Mac Jones because you can't even evaluate these guys. Judge and Patricia shouldn't be coaching the quarterbacks and shouldn't be the offensive coordinator. And they don't have number one wide receivers on this team. Like, they're not putting either quarterback in a position to succeed.
You're right. I think there's a lot. Look, we give this team a lot of benefit of the doubt. And we give the coach a lot of benefit
Solomon,
of the doubt.
Solomon, I'm a Patriot fan. They don't deserve the benefit of the doubt this year. This was stupid from the start, and it's even dumber now.
Listen, I think if we were to be honest, and I think that's what you're doing right now, if it were anybody else, you and I both know we'd be killing the move. We'd be like, but we're like reticent. Because of who the coach is. I think Bill Belichick has earned enough respect to say, let's wait and see. But then last night, that was the last portion of like, okay, wait a minute. What are you doing to Mac Jones? Like, think about it. Mac Jones wanted to get a second opinion on this ankle. We heard reports on that he had kind of the team and where he was at, where the team was at on this was different. So now the backup quarterback comes in and plays well. Mac Jones, maybe he's feeling the pressure. I've got to get out there sooner than before I'm ready. And he didn't look ready. Okay? He didn't look ready. Are the other coaches who weren't there to work with Mac Jones 1 year ago, are they leaning towards another quarterback who they feel is more open to their coaching, more open to everything they have to say? And anything they say to Bailey Zappe isn't challenged by any of the successes of the past. Where with Mac Jones, who I'm sure is just a marvel student, he's an ideal young man, but even he is smart enough to say, well, last year we did this. Why are we doing that? Remember, he said in a report before the season started, there are some new things. We are doing more zone stuff. We're doing. He clearly, and I'm sure he wasn't supposed to let that out, but there it's not a 100% carryover from the things he did 1 year ago. So there's some new learning for him. This whole thing, if we were to be honest, it's not probably the best ideal situation for Mac Jones. There has to be some sense of, hey, listen, we can get just as much from Bailey Zappi given the games that he's played. And it's as if anything that Jones did a year ago doesn't count at this point.
Is it just simply arrogance and confidence in the way that things have worked in the past? Because it seems crazy, but it's almost as if Bill went into this game, okay, I'm going to start Mac. Mac will have success. We're playing the Bears. They're not a good football team. He'll go have two touchdown drives, and he's not fully healthy, but I want to get him the reps. He wants to get back in there, and then I'll pull him and put Bailey Zappi in. It's almost as if they went into that game not even having any respect for the Bears is the way that I look at it.
Yeah, listen, here's what, and I think what you're saying is true, and another way of saying it is that we know for Bill Belichick and his staff that if a quarterback, no matter how much success they've had, that quarterback gets hurt, the next guy is in play. And the next guy, if he plays well enough, he can change the chessboard. We know this because history has taught us that. I mean, all you need to do is go back to Bledsoe, who was a much higher draft pick than Mac Jones.
$100 million guy.
That's right. He had a much larger investment in Bledsoe than they have in Mac Jones. And they turned away from him when the backup guy, who was drafted much lower than Bailey Zappi, has been drafted. And they turned toward the lower draft pick. That guy happened to be Tom Brady. So we know that there's a precedent for what could potentially happen here. So, no, I think we're not reading too much into this. I think these are fair questions. You know, these are questions that Bill Belichick does not want to answer publicly.
You could say that again. If you had to take your best stab at it, next week, if both quarterbacks are healthy against the Jets on Sunday, how does Belichick approach this thing? Who's going to play?
I mean, I think he's going to, probably not, you know, coach wants to win. I mean, I give him all the credit in the world for that. He's going to do what it takes to win. But I do think he has to truly understand that he could be arresting the development of one of these players. Now, you got to ask yourself, does he care about that? Because he might say, look, I'm doing what's best for the team, not for one player. And that wouldn't be a shocker, would it? So, it's hard to answer which one he's going to do. I know what I would do. I would have the guys practice. And by Thursday, it depends on that Wednesday practice, I'm going to go with the guy that I think can give me the best chance. But I'm going to lean into one guy more than the other. And I'm probably going to allow Matt to give a little more time to heal up. Because in this game, if the quarterback can't protect himself, and Mac Jones didn't look like he could move around well enough to protect himself last night, then I will not put him out there. I just don't want to see Mac Jones, all the things that he has accomplished early in his career, I don't want to see him set back. And I think the coaches should be thinking the same way because, to me, you got to play the long game. And if you think in the short run that you don't have to compromise your ability to win with Bailey Zappi, then say, look, I'm going to give Bailey Zappi a chance to play because he's quicker, he's faster, he can get away if we don't block them all, but I'm going to need you to stay ready. You're my quarterback. That's what I would say to Mac Jones. You're my guy. And I would continue to invest into Mac Jones. I would continue to step to the public and say, he's my quarterback. He is the guy. This is the order of things. And let the way they play, let something happen that really is significant change that, because I don't think anything has happened well enough to be able to come off of Mac Jones as the starting quarterback.
They better be revamping this wide receiving room this offseason and do what like the Eagles and Dolphins, even the Jets to some extent, have done, because Those are other three young quarterbacks that there were questions about, and at least they're putting that young quarterback in a position to succeed, Solomon Wilcox.
Listen, I was screaming at this offseason. When I watched the Patriots in the playoffs at the end of last year, it was clear to me they didn't have one player that struck fear in the heart of the opposing defense. They didn't have one player, in my mind, that graded high enough that could really dictate coverage, that forces teams to not want to crowd the box against Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, that they were going to be coming into this season with problems, because I thought they were, you know, I do think they're smart coaches, but sometimes they don't give players enough credit. It's the players. Listen, the Bengals didn't all of a sudden become smarter. They drafted Ja'Marr Chase, and it made everyone better. T. Higgins was already T. Higgins. Tyler Boyd was Tyler Boyd. But you threw Ja'Marr Chase in there, and look what it did for that offense, right? Look what it did for the quarterback. Look what it did for the team and the town, right? Not because the coaches all of a sudden got smarter. Talent matters in this league. It really does.
Who's going to win that division? I know you're a Bengal at heart and you host a very popular Bengals podcast, but what decides Bengals and Ravens as the two best teams in that division this year?
I know the Ravens beat the Bengals earlier. Bengals were kind of working and ironing out, you know, some things. We'd love to just see Joe Burrow, I should say, come into a season where he's not having to battle season rehabilitation, off-season appendectomy, just as they're going into training camp, and four new linemen. You know, the defense is playing really well. They are the, maybe the third defense in, you know, since 1950 to hold a team scoreless without a touchdown, I should say, in the second half of the first seven games. And you know why? Because these guys have now all been together for a while. They've been in the system under Lou Anarumo for a while. He can do more things and ask more of them because of the continuity and the deep Rolodex that they have from having played in the system and having played together. It matters. And you don't have that. We have it at the skill position, but when Joe missed a lot of training camp and you got four new starters on your offensive line, it takes time for that to gel, and I think that's what you're seeing. So, some of those early games, listen, all the three games they've lost show you how good they are. It came down to the very final play. They lost on the very final play, one kick, okay? But they held together. They didn't splinter. There was no finger pointing. They didn't doubt the coaches. This team is better than the record shows right now, but look, they got to iron that out. They are, I think, the most talented team, but again, these games come down to the wire, and they're going to have to win it. No one's going to give it to them, but I do think they're the best team. My money's on them to be standing at the top when it's all said and done.
Of the AFC North or the entire NFL?
Of the AFC North.
Gotcha.
You asked me who's winning the division. So
just making sure. Solomon Wilcott's here with us. Going into the year, it was in the NFC, Green Bay, Tampa, and the Rams, and we couldn't even think of who was going to be the fourth team. All three of those teams struggling immensely. Out of those three teams, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and the Rams, how many of those teams do you think end up making the playoffs this year?
Green Bay for sure, because, you know, they've got some problems, but I think it can be ironed out, and they're in a division that I think is going to be open to capture it. I'm really concerned about Tampa because it's not Tom Brady. Everyone's looking at Tom. No. The quarterback needs the most help of any player, especially if you're 43, 45 years old. I'm sorry, he's 45. He needs this. He needs help. He needs better offensive line play. The interior portion of his offensive line has been decimated with injuries and defections via free agency and retirement, that these aren't even close to the same guys that Tom had, you know, over the last 2 years. The wide receiving core has been up and down, and they haven't really produced up to their level. Now, some of it is injury, some of it is suspension, some of it is just new guys rotating and not knowing Tom well enough. But the defense is the part that concerns you the most, and what they've been doing there, and they're in the poor running game. They have one of the worst running games in the league. So does the Rams. So those teams are struggling. Matthew Stafford's turning the ball over at a higher rate because he's still trying to get with his receivers outside of Cooper Kupp. There's not been anyone consistently productive, and they can't run the ball. So I don't know how they're going to be able to win. I just don't know it. But they've got to lean more into a run game. But the offensive line is they lose Joe Noteboom, another injury on the offensive line. So some of those problems, I don't know how they're going to fix it. In fact, I don't know if it's even possible to get it fixed over, say, the next 8 weeks.
Before we let you run, Simon Wilcox, just want to get your thoughts on two more teams, the Giants and then also the Minnesota Vikings.
Love the Giants because I love the way they're being coached. This is a guy, this shows you coaching matters in this league, Zach. You know, you got a coach that shows up, that makes coming to work fun, where they can, that coach knows how to make you better. He's giving you the tools in the game plan that's going to help you perform. Listen, I saw Daniel Jones smile this week. Come on, man. He had I saw Daniel Jones crack the smile. He's actually showing some personality now.
Well, I'd be smiling if Joe Judge wasn't my coach anymore, Solomon.
That's exactly. So now that should answer some of your questions with what's going on with Mac Jones now. So I'm telling you, man, it matters. And I don't want to speak disparagingly of coaches, particularly I don't know him that well. But look, man, I've been around this game a long time, and you can see it. You can tell when coaches have this infectious part of them that they're able to leverage that and make players better. Okay? There's a reason why Kirk Cousins is playing better.
Yeah.
He didn't get along with the previous coach. Previous coach was a little bit of a hard ass, right? Now he's got a guy that's breathing life into him. It matters, man. So the Vikings are going to be there. I think the Vikings might win the division. I think they're trending toward the playoffs. So give Kevin O'Connell all the props. He's made his quarterback better. Brian Daboll's made the quarterback better. And the defense is still blossoming, still growing. But Donwick Martindale deserves a lot of credit, too, for he's doing over there. And they've got a lot of young stars who are now blossoming. Their careers are going to the next level.
Last thing I'll ask you, the move in Indianapolis this week to bench Matt Ryan, when you first saw it, did it catch you by surprise? Because I know Matt Ryan has not been playing well, but, geez, going to Sam Ehlinger, that did catch me by surprise a little bit.
I wasn't surprised because I think it's ownership driven. I think Jim Irsay, who, you know, he said it, said we can win a Super Bowl. I can tell you, I was there for training camp. He was so high on Matt Ryan. He uttered the word Super Bowl. And then to come out and lose opening day, well, they tied the Houston Texans.
That's pretty much a loss.
Get shut out by Jacksonville. That got it on the wrong track. And then the two interceptions in the waning moments of the game this past Sunday, I think the owner had seen enough. And he says, look, we got seven different quarterbacks in 5 years. We got to do it differently. And he's not going to sit around and watch it anymore.
Simon Wilcox, always great to catch up with you. Always love when you come on the show. And thanks so much. We'll do it again soon.
You're the best, Zach. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. There's Simon Wilcox. It's a great job. Believe in Bengals on the Believe Network, Sirius XM, NFL Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, I want to touch on one thing that he said. And I'm actually proud of my guy, Hot Take Kiki, because he floated this out there yesterday. And it may, just may be, the first right thing Hickey has said about the Colts in 2 years.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Le Batard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Finding the perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding one that's perfect for you is easy with Indochino. Choose your design and custom details. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in-store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And shop their new fall collection for seasonal styles. Find your perfect suit with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com, promo code FALLUPDATE.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, I thank you very much. It is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on good old CBS Sports Radio. And Hot Take Hickey finally did it. The waiting is over. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. Everyone can now die a happy camper because it's been two long years and Hickey has finally said something right about the Indianapolis Colts. Now you may be asking, Zach, you're burying the lead. What did he actually say that was correct? Yesterday, Hickey floated out a theory, just a little theory. And I said, is this a popular thought in the Colts universe and all those crazy Colts fans? And he's like, I don't know if it is or not, but this is just my theory that the benching of Matt Ryan was Jim Irsay driven. And Jim Irsay said to Frank Reich, who is going to just be a dead man walking anyway, that you need to bench Matt Ryan and go with Sam Ehlinger. That was the take of Hot Take Hickey, that it was owner driven. And Solomon Wolcott, who is very plugged into the NFL, played the game, has covered the game for a very long time. He also floated out that theory tonight. So when Hickey says it, I raise an eyebrow. I'm skeptical because even though he has a very popular Colts podcast that you have to listen, download, subscribe, like and subscribe, all that stuff. With that being said, whenever it comes to a Colts take, there is some skepticism with Hickey. But after two long years, you got one right. I'm proud of you. Nice theory. Nice job. Look at me right now. I give you a literal tip of the cap. I'm taking off my cap, and I'm giving you kudos for your correct take, or what we think is a correct take.
Look, do you think I'm delusional? The only person more delusional than in that case is Jim Irsay, who has, as many times on the record, has talked about Super Bowl chase two in the next decade. We're a long way from that. And he, I think, is, I would give him credit. They made the move. They gave the draft capital. They brought Matt Ryan for 2 years. And look, it's not working. The team stinks right now. I don't think Sam Ehlinger is the answer by far. Don't get me wrong. This team's not winning many more games.
But you know why this move was made? Not that I have any belief in Sam Ehlinger, but your once great offensive line is not so great right now. I think you called it hot garbage yesterday, or you just said it was very crappy.
Ace. There's a lot of expletives you could use that I will not say to describe how
bad. So that offensive line that you once thought was very great is not great. My only logical explanation, because on paper, even though Matt Ryan's not great anymore, he's still better than Sam Ehlinger, is that they believe that Sam Ehlinger, his mobility is going to give a little life to this offense, and he'll be able to run around a little bit more and help out an offensive line that, as Frank the Tank from Barstool Sports would say, is absolutely feeble right now.
And he will be more mobile, but can he throw the ball better? I don't think so. Can he make more plays? I don't think so.
Just throw it to the guys in the blue uniforms or the white uniforms, and you'll be good, because Matt Ryan constantly throws the ball to the other team these days.
12 turnovers in 7 games. He has 11 fumbles. Only 3 lost, but 11 fumbles in 7 games.
And how many interceptions?
9.
Woof.
He has more interceptions than Carson Wentz had last year.
Don't make any positive statements with Carson Wentz.
No, no. I'm highlighting, like, if he was able to corral some of his interception problems and Matt Ryan can't even less than half the games, it just shows you how bad Matt Ryan has been this year.
Yeah.
Not all on him, but.
Well, he has not been good. He could also not be good, and the stuff around him is also not good. Those two could go together. I don't think we necessarily have to separate them.
Oh, no, they're hand in hand, which is even more frustrating. I wish there's only one. I wish you can just say the offensive line stinks or, oh, Matt Ryan stinks. They go hand in hand. They both stink.
Do you think Frank Reich, though, actually agrees with this?
I would say no. I think if it was up to him, he would still start Matt Ryan.
I think if it was up to him, he would still have Carson Wentz on this team. I think he would have gave Carson Wentz another year. Now, that would have been a mistake, and I know they didn't do a good job in getting the next replacement, but I do think if it was still up to Frank Reich, that Carson Wentz would be his quarterback in Indianapolis. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I probably would. If he had, like, you know, sole authority, I would probably say, yeah, they'd try it for one more year, make excuses about the COVID year and missing training camp and the broken ankles, all that fun stuff.
I really thought last year broke you because you look like a sad puppy dog walking around this office. It's not even fun anymore. That's why a few weeks ago I said I actually wanted to see the Colts get off to a good start so you could just slowly really start to buy in. Now, you said they were going to win the division, but that division was slim pickings this year. We probably should always go by default Tennessee until proven otherwise. But Tennessee, I thought were going to take a step back, and early on it looked like that was going to be the case. But they didn't even allow you really to get a moment, and even though a few weeks ago you still said that you think they could be a good team, to really get like fully bought in and sucked into this Colts delusion syndrome that you kind of have. They ruined this season for you very early.
You know what? In a strange way, once the Sam Ellinger news is made, I'm like now more rejuvenated. I am now more excited because now I think for the first time they're taking the quarterback position seriously, draft a quarterback in the first round, and I will be going into next year, assuming
they
get a quarterback.
So now you're embracing the suck.
Probably would be the most excited I've been for a season since 2018. Or 2019, actually,
Stop.
Until 2 weeks before the season.
Hold on. You cannot. Last year, you were so excited. You told me on national radio that they were winning the division and they are a great team. And you said they were a dark horse to win the Super Bowl.
Well, that was also after they started winning some games. Going into the year, I thought they were going to. I picked them to win the division.
That was also in the summer.
And
you
that
chastised
me
when
that
I
did not go well.
When I said that the Titans were going to win the division last year.
Oh, yeah.
We have the audio.
Oh,
you
no,
need
I'm
me
not
to go
denying
back.
That. I was 100% right. Or I was 100% said that.
Well, you know what's going to happen. That the Commanders are going to lose this weekend. And I actually think the Commanders are going to win. But here's what I see in this scenario playing out. Commanders lose this weekend. Ellinger plays well. And the next thing you know, Hot Take Hickey starts to say, okay, they're 4-3-1. They have some life. Welcome back. They're ready to go. Good to go. I could see that playing out this weekend.
That's the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is that Sam Ellinger does not play well and the Colts somehow still win games.
Well, I didn't say he was not going to play well. Sam Ellinger lights it up. You're telling me Hickey's not coming in here. You're not coming in here on Monday and starting to buy him back in again.
I am anti Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, but you are so you fall for the bait so easily.
No, not with him.
Who do the Titans play this weekend?
The Texans.
Oh yeah, that's right. And that's we were talking about this before the show. The Titans are a 2-point favorite. That seems a little bit fishy. So watch, the Texans win this weekend. Titans fall to 4-3. The Colts go to 4-3-1. Ellinger plays great. And then the guy that is now finally coming around to tanking is going to start saying playoff pushes back.
I can guarantee you right now, this time next week, I will not be saying any of those words if exactly that scenario that plays out happens.
What happens if then the next week they beat the Patriots and they get to 5-3-1?
Sam Ellinger is going to have to play perfect for 10 games in a row, be the best quarterback in the NFL for me to buy him.
You're such full of
no, I am not an Ellinger guy. I saw him at Texas too many times.
You'll be screaming.
I am so out.
You'll be screaming come Monday if they beat the Commanders. I don't even need to go past the rest of the schedule. Hey, Indianapolis, we're back.
I am rooting for them to lose. I'm telling you that right now. I'm rooting for them to lose every single game.
I don't want to see the Colts win as many games as possible.
No.
That's what I'm rooting for. My football team stinks. Bill Belichick failed to address the offensive coordinating position in the proper way. He failed to get a number one wide receiver for either Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi. Here is what I have to look forward to after 20 years of excellence. The team that I rooted for against the most in the Colts, I'm now rooting for them the most. I want to see the Colts win as many games as possible because I don't want them having a good draft pick and then drafting their quarterback of the future.
Roll the dice. Let's get Bryce. Let's go.
Oh,
I'm in.
You're such a... Roll the dice. Let's get Bryce. Come on, that's what you're going with?
I hate lice. We want Bryce. Like, that doesn't really work. Slice and Bryce? Slice, dice, and Bryce?
No suck for Stroud?
That doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Colts be crappy?
Let's get zappy. There we go. He's on the trade block. Now we're talking.
Chris Ballard's going to trade a second-round pick for Bailey Zappi. What do you think the Colts would trade for Mac Jones, by the way?
Matt Ryan.
I think you guys would give a conditional, too.
They don't know. No, they would not do that.
He's 10-7. I could definitely see. Definitely see. Hey, get Chris Ballard on the phone. I want him on the show tomorrow. Would you trade a second-round pick that could turn into a first-round pick if he plays 70% of the snaps next year for Mac Jones? I'll gift you Mac.
Wow, you're already giving. Wow, you're giving away your guy. Didn't I just see a tweet today that you're ready for Mac Jones to be back as QB1?
That is true.
And
I'm
now
back
you're
on the Mac
giving
attack.
Giving him away for a conditional two.
I am back on the Mac attack. So I take that last 5 minutes back. I was having a little bit of fun here. You know, you never know what happens when you start to talk about the Colts with Hot Take Icky. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And we come on back. We're going to get into some college football. The Big Ten is keeping divisions in 2023. And should the ACC get more love? One prominent college analyst says that they should be getting more love. We'll tell you who that is on the other side.
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interviewed them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Levitard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interviewed them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Levitard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interviewed them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Levitard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Eric McLean from the ACC Network did join us yesterday, and this was him on if the Big 12 is a better conference than the ACC this season. Listen up.
I don't know, man, about the Big 12 and the Pac-12. I mean, you know, the Atlantic has, you know, the most teams ranked of any division in all of college football. So that's a pretty bold statement. And then you see a North Carolina team, you know, that can score on anybody, that has the best quarterback statistically, you know, in the country with the things that he can do. So I think you need to take another look, man. The ACC is playing really well this year, and it's a lot of good complementary football. It's offense and defense. It's not just, you know, Big 12, we'll score 100 on anybody. It's complementary, and these guys will hit you.
Here's my question, Ryan. Does anyone in the ACC really scare you this year? Like, Clemson could be a college football playoff team. They almost just, though, lost to Syracuse. I know Syracuse having a good season with Dino Babers, and they were undefeated up until last week. There's not a lot of big-time confidence DJ Uiagalelei is going to be as great of a quarterback as we thought he was going to be. You saw some of that 2021 DJ Uiagalelei pop back up last week, even though he's, for the most part, been having a good season. And, like, the ACC, you can tell me all you want about the rankings. Like, Mississippi State's not a top 25 team right now. If Mississippi State, let's just say you take Clemson out of it, and they're not even a ranked team, if they played Syracuse tomorrow, I'd probably lean Mississippi State. Now, that's an SEC team, just throwing out an example. But you look at the schools that I threw in there, the Big 12, like, TCU is 7-0 right now. Oklahoma State. You know, I would pick them to beat Syracuse if these two teams played tomorrow. Even Kansas State and Texas, too. I just think that the problem with the Big 12 and also the Pac-12, who USC's looked good, Oregon's done a good job bouncing back after getting smoked by Georgia in week one. I just really do believe that it comes down to that these schools in those better conferences like the Big 12 and Pac-12 for just this year, they're going to beat up on one another. It's inevitable. Like Utah blew it earlier in the year when they had that loss early in the season. I know they had one more loss factored in, but Utah's still a really good team with Cam Rising. Like they just beat USC. So I can't say, and you can tell me all you want about the rankings. And we know how rankings are in college football. Sometimes they make sense, sometimes they don't. I can't say that the ACC this year is better than the Pac-12 and the Big 12.
I would agree. Like, Wake Forest is a nice story, a great high-octane offense, really no defense, can't stop anyone. Like, and then you look at, to your point, some of the teams that aren't ranked, like the depth of the conference. Like, sure, you could talk about, you know, some teams being ranked like Syracuse and Wake Forest. But it's like, overall, like, there's not a lot of teams outside of Clemson. And again, Clemson's been vulnerable.
And they were really vulnerable last year.
Get you scared.
To the ACC credit, last year they took advantage of the vulnerabilities of Clemson. This year, they're just as vulnerable. Yeah, DJ has played better, but they're still a vulnerable football team. And Wake Forest threw everything they could at Clemson, and it still wasn't enough. NC State lost by 10 points. They had to go to a quarterback change, Clemson against Syracuse. They still beat Syracuse. It's like Clemson's going to be undefeated, and they're going to go to the college football playoff. But if you just want to look at the depth of both conferences, I don't see how you could say the ACC is better, and I have to relook this, because the Big 12 and Pac-12, just by the eye test and just by the way that they've played the games this year, I fear more teams in the Big 12 and the Pac-12 in totality than I do in the ACC just for this year alone individually.
And that's part of the reason why there aren't more teams in the Pac-12 and Big 12 ranked, because they beat up on each other. So teams like Texas now that have three losses, even though maybe they're better than the record says they are, can't get over the hump because they lose to teams like Texas Tech who can get them in, like Oklahoma State.
Texas almost beat Alabama, and I know this is not a great Alabama team this year, but they're still Alabama when Quinn Ewers got hurt. It took a good stop by Will Anderson Jr. and Bryce Young to make a miraculous escape for Alabama to beat Texas. And Texas isn't even a top team in the Big 12. Without Quinn Ewers, they almost beat Alabama. It's like, how many teams would Texas beat in the ACC?
Almost probably all of them except for Clemson.
Right?
Maybe one other, you know, one of their loss, but yeah.
Like
be
Texas
better.
Plays Wake Forest tomorrow, who has a good story, or NC State. I probably Wake Forest has a better chance, but I would still take Texas in the game. Like has a better chance, you know, if you look at all the ACC schools, because of their offense, you would say probably Wake Forest, if you take Clemson out of the picture, has the best shot to take down Texas. Is that fair when you evaluate all the ACC schools?
Yes. Yeah, I don't trust NC State's offense, unfortunately. They should be, but they haven't performed.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Big Ten. The Big Ten are going to be keeping divisions in 2023. You know that USC and UCLA are coming to the Big Ten in 2024. I'm actually okay with this. I don't know about you, Ryan. I usually err on the side of I just want to see the two best teams play in the conference championship game. But when you currently look as this is just going to be for one more year, the state of the Big Ten, and I know there's some optimism. Even I could say this, and it's not Hickey just coming off as a homer. But there's some optimism next year with Penn State because Drew Aller will be the starting quarterback and it won't be Sean Clifford. They have a lot of good young recruits and some good young talent on that roster. But really what the Big Ten has become is it's Ohio State and Michigan and then everyone else. So if you go to the top two teams in the conference, ends up playing in the conference championship game next year, and that is once again Ohio State and Michigan, it does take some of the luster off and some of the shine off of the matchup on Thanksgiving because then it's basically just a rematch the next weekend. Now, there could be a scenario if you lose that game, you don't get into the Big Ten championship. But like this year, it's clear that Ohio State and Michigan, barring something unforeseen, are going to be undefeated going into Thanksgiving weekend, and that game's going to be all the marbles. And also, it's this way every year. Whoever wins the Big Ten East ends up winning the Big Ten championship. It's just the way that goes. So for next year, and since it's just one more year, I would not, that's the one rare time because of this conference, I would not just match up whoever the two top teams are in the Big Ten championship.
It's so dumb. Like, well, why are we preserving Ohio State versus Northwestern or Michigan playing Minnesota? Like, that's really what you want? That's really the matchup you are craving in the Big Ten title game?
But you would agree that most likely, I'm not saying for long term, but just for next year, who's really going to seriously challenge Ohio State and Michigan?
Next year? I mean, I would put Penn State in that mix. Okay. Otherwise, like, I don't really probably know one.
So let's say a young Penn State team gets two losses. Just let's say they have two losses. And they're out of the Big Ten championship game. And Ohio State and Michigan are both undefeated. And then they play on that game Thanksgiving weekend, the game. We're then going to run it back the next week? Just for one year?
Yeah, what's so bad about that? And that's if I'm assuming Michigan and Ohio State are good. Like, that's obviously, you know, not the case most times. If Michigan can keep it up, sure, but if...
Well, you question that about Michigan this year, and they did so.
Penn State could be Ohio State and Michigan State. It could be, I mean, it could be Wisconsin for their credit.
Let me be clear. If this was for the long term, I would be against it. But for one extra season, I would stay with what the current formula is, and that's what they elected to do so. But moving forward, what do you think they'll do? Like, once USC and UCLA gets in, are they going to scrap these divisions and just make it one big conference and not have any divisions inside the conference? And they'll make some formula of who you're going to play, like, every 3 or 4 years. You have your rivalries and stuff, and then you'll rotate some teams in and out. Like, what do you think the direction's going to be?
I hope so, because especially when you have 16 teams, clearly, even if you have 9 conference games, you're not playing everyone every single year. So, you know, if you have, if you have divisions and they're lopsided, where you're going to have 2, 3, 4 of the best teams in the conference. Like, if you put Ohio State, I don't know, USC and Michigan, let's say, in one side of the conference, and those are the 3 best teams in the conference, well, why are you going to, you know, eliminate 2 of them from playing for a title when now you're going to let a lesser team compete? I would say break up the divisions, put 16 teams in one big conference together.
And then you have those formulas. You always have Ohio State play Michigan.
Right.
You always have Michigan play Michigan State. Like,
you have 2 or 3 conference games you keep every single year, then rotate the other 4 or 5, and you go with the 2 best winning percentages in the conference, and we'll see you in Indy.
Yeah, if I'm one of those teams, you know, give me Rutgers. make sure you give me Northwestern, right? Those schools. Make sure I get
the draw
that way.
I hate to say it, but I mean, yeah, you'd rather keep...
Throw Maryland in there, too.
I don't even want to say it, but you'd rather keep... Rutgers, Maryland.
Well, here's what they should do. This is just my thought. And I think it's with you. They're going to put all these teams together, and then they'll come up with the scheduling, so you still get the rivalries, and then you'll rotate schools in and out throughout the years, so everyone eventually does play one another. I would keep the Big Ten East and the Big Ten West. And what I would do is I would put USC and UCLA in the Big Ten West, and then you're going to say, oh, well, it's not balanced. It's not even. You could just take then one school out of the Big Ten West. Like, let's say if I take Northwestern or if I take Minnesota and throw them into the East, does that really ruin much? At least then you add USC and UCLA to kind of pump up the Big Ten West a little bit, and you hope that Wisconsin, with Jim Leonard most likely being the coach, gets back to where they should be. You know, am I going to believe long-term in Bielma and Nebraska? And I know Fitzgerald's starting to trend the other direction at Northwestern. Probably not. So maybe you think that's on the table, that USC and UCLA go into the Big Ten West and they just bump one of the schools currently in the Big Ten West over to the Big Ten East?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so it's just going to be the 16-team format.
I mean, I don't know what it's going to be. It could be 4 pods of 4. I mean, the SEC is going to have the same discussion. They're also going to have 16 teams. I don't think they'll just make it as simple as these 2 teams in the West bump one over and move along.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break when we come on back. Which first-year college football head coach in a new home has impressed you the most? We got a few candidates to discuss. Lincoln Riley, Dan Lanning, Sonny Dykes, and, of course, Mr. Fanley, Brian Kelly. Go Tigers!
Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Kenny Mayne. I'm the host of Hey Mayne, the Kenny Mayne Talks to Famous People podcast. Season one's out there in the universe. You can go back in time, find anybody you want, as long as I interview them. Season two is coming up Thursday, October 13th. We got Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick together again. Sue Bird is involved. Rex Chapman, Dan Lebatard, Katie Nolan, Allison Becker. Sorry for all the others I interviewed who I left out. Oh, yeah, Soledad O'Brien. She was good. Get it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.